Father, we thank you that your light shines into dark places. The light of your word reveals your glory. And we pray that your light would shine into our dark hearts now and show us more of who you are. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you got that meh feeling? You know, that feeling where you're just not doing great. It could be that you're not thriving, you're not depressed, but you're just somewhere in the middle. You're just feeling meh because of lockdown. Is lockdown getting you down? It could be that you've lost your zing, you've lost your motivation, you've lost your enthusiasm. There's many names for it, but probably the most common name is that you're languishing. In fact, languishing has been described as the most common emotion of 2021. Is that how you're feeling? We can feel that way spiritually too. We can feel, you know, when we're not thriving, we're not spiritually depressed, but we're just lost that motivation. We've lost the motivation to speak about Jesus. We've lost the motivation to pray. We've lost the motivation to love others well. We've lost motivation because of suffering. Lockdown has meant that we're feeling meh spiritually. And we're going to begin a new series today called Never Give Up. Never give up. There's a word that the Bible uses six times that means never give up. It's a word that I want to explore with you over the next 4 weeks. It's a word which often gets translated as discouraged or to lose heart or to lose your motivation. It's used six times in the New Testament, and we're going to trace this word and to see what the solution is for our spiritual discouragement. Our first stop is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where our word is used twice. It's used in verse 1 and verse 16, and it's that phrase that's translated to lose heart, to be disheartened, to have the heart pulled out of you, so you just feel numb, you're fed up, you're tired. Is that how you're feeling? One area that we can lose heart is in the area of gospel speaking. Do you remember when you first became a Christian, when you had such a zing and you wanted all your friends to know about Christ? You had so much motivation, so much drive. You were so eager to tell people about him. But then when your friends didn't come to Christ, and as you got older, you lost that passion and you became tired, you lacked the courage, you lacked the boldness, and you gave up trying. And maybe it is that lockdown has meant that you just lack the motivation to look for opportunities to share Christ with others, because they're different right now. They're there, but they're different. And so you've lost heart. You know, one of the goals of our church is to tell people who Christ is and what he has done. In other words, we've all got a part to play when it comes to talking about Jesus. We've all got different gifts to share. And the danger is that we will lose heart. Now, 2 Corinthians is a letter that is written to a church where the Apostle Paul's ministry has come under fire, right? He's credentials are being questioned, and he's got every reason to lose heart. And twice he says in chapter 4, he says, we do not lose heart. And he gives us three reasons why he keeps going in gospel speaking. And there are three reasons for us as well. We're not apostles, but we've got reasons to keep being involved in gospel speaking, to not give up. And here are the reasons Paul gives, and they're good reasons for us as well. Don't give up, don't lose heart, because number one, all ministry is God's ministry. Number two, don't give up because of who we are. And number three, don't give up because of the ultimate reality. Okay? Number one, don't give up because all ministry is God's ministry. And this is in the first six verses. Let's have a look. In the first six verses of 2 Corinthians 4, Paul wants us to know what keeps him going in gospel speaking. See, he says in verse 2 that he doesn't use deception, nor does he distort the word. In verse 2, he keeps setting forth the truth plainly. He doesn't trick people into becoming Christians. There's no fine line that you have to sign no fine print, rather, that you have to sign before you come to Christ. He speaks this plain and simple truth. Some churches try to soft-pedal the message. Some churches are prepared to skimp on the truth. Not Paul. No way. Especially when you think about verse 4. Verse 4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ." People are blinded by Satan, so that they can't understand the gospel, so that their hearts are closed to the truth. By nature, we have stubborn and unopened hearts. And Satan reinforces that. And that can make you lose heart. I mean, I've got family members and I've got friends who over the years I've shared Christ with and I've done my very best. And I think, why bother trying again? They've heard it all before. Why should I keep going? I've lost heart. But remember, we're looking at the reasons why Paul says he doesn't lose heart. And verse 6, I want you to get your eyes onto verse 6. Pay really close attention to verse 6 because it's a reason not to lose heart. Verse 6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." It's a reference to Genesis chapter 1. You remember Genesis chapter 1? When God turned on the lights, there was darkness. And what did God say? "Let there be light." And there was, and the lights were turned on. And Paul is saying the God of Genesis 1 is the same God of 2 Corinthians 4. He did it back then, and he can do it again. He's turned on the lights in creation, and he can turn on the lights in people's heart so they can see who Jesus is. They can see the beautiful glory of God. You see, it takes God to step in for people to become Christians. And when you understand that all ministry is God's ministry and saving people is God's job, then you don't lose heart. Here's the motivation to not lose heart in gospel speaking. Look at what God is capable of doing. The God who created the miracle of light once before can do it again. He can turn on the lights in people's hearts and overcome our darkness and blindness, so people can see who Jesus is. Ah, oh, when you understand that when you understand that it's a miracle whenever someone comes to Christ, you don't lose heart. And that's why Paul says, "I speak with integrity." He doesn't water down the message. He knows that God works with openness and not secrecy. God works with truthfulness and not deception. When we think it's up to us, when we think that saving people is dependent upon my wonderful personality or the powers of my persuasion or the greatness of my oratory skills, when we think it's dependent upon the type of church music we're playing or upon our great advertising or upon any method that we might come up with, then we've lost the plot. But when we understand that it's up to God, you know what we do? We set forward the truth plainly and we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. That's what Paul does, verse 5. "We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." See, when you understand that it's not about you, it's about Jesus, that's humbling. And you don't preach yourself or anyone else. You preach Jesus Christ as Lord. And you don't lose heart. Because all ministry is God's ministry. And he saves people, not us. I heard the story about John Stott, the British preacher who came to Sydney University to be involved in a week of mission on the campus. And all week he preached his heart out. He preached about Jesus. He preached the gospel. And they saw little results. They didn't see many people come to Christ. But on the final night of the mission, John Stott lost his voice. and he preached a shocker. You know, he just croaked out the gospel. It was hard to listen to him. It would have been very uncomfortable listening. But do you know, on that final night, there were more people who came to Christ than the entire week put together. And it's a reminder that God saves people not based upon the attractiveness of our voice or upon our methods, but it's all up to Him. It all depends on Him. So don't lose heart in the ministry you're involved in, because all ministry is God's ministry, and He'll save people, not us. That's the first point, the first reason not to lose heart. Here's the second reason. Don't lose heart because of who we are. We're a jar stuffed full of gold. Look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Paul says we have treasures in jars of clay. And, you know, the thing about a jar is, by itself, a jar is worthless. But the value of a jar is in what is inside it. Paul says, I'm a jar of clay and my value is in what's inside of me. I'm on the outside, I'm weak and I'm fragile and I can break, but packed inside me is gospel treasure. Now, on one level, he's talking about life on planet Earth. Verse 8 says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I mean, it sounds a bit like how we're all feeling at the moment, isn't it, in lockdown? We're hard-pressed, we're not crushed, we're perplexed, we're not in despair, we're fragile. It's how we all are, Christians included. Christians like everyone can get tired. Christians like everyone can get the flu. Christians like everyone can get COVID-19. You see, Jesus is not my vaccine. We're all susceptible to it. We all get sick. But it's not just that it's part of life. Paul's saying it's more than that. See, he's talking about suffering for being a Christian. Paul is a jar of clay, and the Apostle Paul was someone who got smashed, he got broken, he got bashed, not to the point of being destroyed, but he, every time it happened, he got up, he dusted himself off, and he went on and he did it all over again. Paul got knocked down, and just when you think that he's down for the count, he gets up, back into the ring, and he keeps fighting. See, this is the guy, you've got to remember, who was shipwrecked. He had lashes across his back. He was put into prison. He was on the hit list of the Jews. He was left for dead, but he got up every time and he did it all over again. He was knocked down, but he wasn't knocked out. Why? How? Well, look at verse 10. We always carry around in our body, there's the jar, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. There's the treasure. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, there's the jar again, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. There's the treasure that's inside. See, in Paul's ministry, he had holes punched in him. He was broken. He was cracked open. Why? Well, when the jar breaks, it's only then that you see the treasure that's on the inside. That's when you see the gold that comes pouring out. See, when Paul breaks open, you get to see the resurrected life of Jesus shining through him. See, Paul has treasure in a jar of clay. And the guy's a walking sermon illustration of his own sermon. His message is, if you come to Jesus, then you'll have resurrection life. And when you see that Paul gets broken, that's when you see the resurrected life of Jesus that he has. And that's why he says in verse 12, so then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. When he talks about Jesus, it costs him. He suffers. But when he talks about Jesus, it's life-giving as people hear the gospel and they receive it with joy. Friends, it's the way God works. Often the way God works is by one person spending themselves and sacrificing so that someone else can hear the gospel and be saved. It's how God worked through Jesus. Jesus spent his life so that we could receive his life. We could be blessed by his life. It's how God works through us. God works through persecution. God works through pain. God works through suffering. God uses these things so that others will be saved. And it's the same for you. See, when you break open, when you crack, when you suffer, that's when people see the gold that's inside you, the resurrected life of Jesus. Why is it that you can face tomorrow? Why is it that you can go through suffering? Why is it that you can stand the pain of rejection when you talk about Jesus? Why is it that you can put up with people thinking that you're the weirdo because you believe in the gospel? You know why it is? Because you, my dear Christian brother and sister, you have the resurrected life of Jesus living inside you. It's the very thing that drives the church to speak. In verse 13 to 15, Paul quotes Psalm 116. In Psalm 116, the psalmist says that he knows that God rescues from the grave. He knows the God who is able to save from beyond the grave. And that drives him to speak. And Paul says what that psalmist believes in Psalm 116. That's what I believe. I believed, therefore I have spoken. I believed in the resurrection, and therefore I speak. See, when you know the power of the gospel, when you know resurrected power, it drives a church to speak. You can't keep a church like that down. A church that knows that no matter what's going to happen to them, that they'll be raised up, well, that drives them to speak. You can't stop a church that believes that. That kind of church can't be quiet. Do you believe that one day you'll be raised? Well, then speak. Speak. Open your mouth. You've got nothing to lose. Death can't even stop you because you'll be raised up. Friends, this is how God operates. He shines in our weakness. Chapter 4, verse 7, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us, so that his power shines through the cracks. You know, we think we have to be powerful, but some people are so clever and think they're so intelligent that God will never use them. God chooses to work through stutterers like Moses. He chooses to work through cowards like Gideon. He works through sinners like King David. He works through wimps like the Apostle Peter. He works through timid people like Timothy and murderers like the Apostle Paul. God loves working through the weakness of people. Why does he love doing that? It's so that you and I don't get the glory. It's so that he gets the glory and people think that he's amazing and not, it's not because of us. This is how God operates. He shines through the cracks. I'd much prefer God to work through my own strengths, wouldn't you? But this is the God who works through weakness and crucifixion. You might have heard the story of five missionary couples who in the 1950s from Wheaton near Chicago in the USA had a burden for the Orca people, an Indian group in Ecuador, an unreached people group at the time. And these five couples went and packed their bags and left for Ecuador to try and reach the Orca people. Well, within months of arriving, the five men were speared to death by those Orca Indians. And one of the women who lost her husband, a woman by the name of Elizabeth Elliott, she went back to live amongst the tribe that killed her husband. And not only that, she did what I don't think I could have done. She took her three-year-old daughter with her, her little girl Valerie. And she made contact with these Indians again. And because she lived among them and she was a witness to them, many of them came to Christ. And some of the men who killed those husbands are leaders in the Orca Church to this very day. See, this is the pattern that God uses to work. It's by death, it's by sacrifice, it's by weakness That's how God operates. So remember who you are. You're a terracotta pot stuffed full of gold. And it doesn't matter if you get dropped, because the power of the resurrection will come spilling out of you. So don't give up on gospel speaking. And don't give up on gospel speaking because of the ultimate future. I want you to chew on these verses this week. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Paul here is like a superhero with telescopic vision. He looks at that which is distant in the future, and he's able to bring it close to him in the present. He trains his vision on the future, that which he can't see. And he might get knocked down, but he knows that there's a day when he'll get up again and he'll no longer be knocked down. And he looks ahead to his resurrection, because he knows that if he does that, he will be changed on the inside and made inwardly strong. Someone once said that the older you get as a Christian, the younger you get. The older you get as a Christian, the younger you get. Because you're being renewed day by day. Is that happening to you? Do you feel that happening to you? Well, you may not feel it, but do you know by faith that it's happening to you? I know Christians and they've lost heart. You know, the older they've become, they've just lost their zeal, their zing, their motivation for Christ, their passion for the gospel. They've lacked the motive. And that's the great temptation, isn't it? And I know other older Christians, and the older they've become, the more passionate they've become about Jesus, the more desire they have to drag as many people as they can with them into glory. I once knew an older guy. He lived in a retirement village, and everyone in his village got an invitation to hear about Jesus. You couldn't help but hear about Jesus if you knew this guy. His name was Bill. And, you know, outwardly Bill was wasting away, but inwardly Bill was becoming stronger and stronger day after day. And I remember thinking, oh, that guy has so much passion, and when I get older, I want to be just like Bill. You have to do what Paul says here. You have to fix your eyes on that which is unseen. You have to do it. It's a discipline. You have to train yourself to do this. You have to think about it, dwell upon it, chew it over until that which you can't see so dominates your thinking, and so that it obliterates your discouragement. It erases any weariness and discouragement that you have. You've got to focus on the glory. Twice Paul says this, we do not lose heart. Will you pray about this week? Will you read this chapter again and think about why Paul says we don't lose heart? Because people who focus on the heavenly city, people who focus upon the joy of heaven, those are the people who pray more. They're of more use to the gospel. They invite people to courses like Christianity Explored. They open their mouth and they speak, and they simply say something like, here's my favorite Bible verse. Or they just do simply what my friend Steve did. I've got a friend called Steve. And what he did is he simply said to his parents who weren't saved, he said to them, "Mum and Dad, I would love it if you were in heaven with me on the last day." That's all he said. "I'd love it if you were in heaven with me on the last day." Because he was fixing his eyes on what was not seen. He was thinking ahead to the finish line of glory. And his parents ended up going to a Bible-believing church where they heard about Jesus and they became Christians. And his parents will be in glory with Steve one day. All because Steve had focused his eyes on what he could not see. So friends, don't give up on gospel speaking. Don't lose heart. All ministry is God's ministry. He'll save people, not us. He has a way of shining through our weakness so that people can see his power, and he's inwardly renewing us day by day as we focus on glory. What will you pray with me? Loving Father, we're not going to drift, we're not going to lose heart, we're not going to lose our motivation. We pray that we'll do these things that we've talked about now, that we won't give up on gospel speaking. We're going to pray for our unbelieving friends. We're going to rejoice in what is ours, our salvation. Lord, help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.